conversation, but the military gave him a plane that was a replica of one he pulled out of a full spin. He was the only passenger to ever get up and pull a plane out of a spin. They gave him a complete replica of it. Anyway, I asked him one time, I said, was the war terrible? He just drank a little bit and he goes, well, wouldn't be so bad if they quit shooting at you. I guess if they just let you bomb the stuff again, it would be okay. You know? But anyway, he got saved before he died. And then precious, he got saved.
All right. My on in the back, I see Cassie in the sound room. God help us. Are we in trouble back there? You trying to straighten out Randy a little bit? Yeah, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. All right, did you guys know we have a birthday in the house? We have a young girl who's got a birthday. It's Miss Cadence. How old are you today? 13? 13 years old. So, where'd Shiloh go? She can help me out. Stand up. Here we go. You guys sing happy birthday with me. Shiloh's not in here yet, so... You ready? Because we love her. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cadence. Happy birthday to you.
Cadence, you have no idea how much we love you. We love you more than you can imagine, and we're
so glad that you're in our world. Thank you so much for being such an awesome human. Happy, happy birthday to you. I've asked Uncle Randy before we do praises to play a worship song because I think it'll make your heart more praiseful. You got it? Play aloud. I heard this one up at the Jubilee this week. With that, who's got a praise tonight? Is he worthy of anything in your life tonight? Miss Cheryl?
My sister had knee replacement surgery, so she does need God's prayer. But the praise is, before she went into surgery, her doctor asked her, do you pray? And he prayed for her before she performed surgery.
How about that? Well, praise the Lord. We thank God for godly people in all fields, but thank God especially when they're operating on our bodies. Who's got to praise Miss Darlene? What is he worthy of in your life? We have prayed for Bowen today. Amen. Great. Yeah. Praise the Lord, Jalen. Okay, well, we're excited for that. All right. Yay. We're glad. Jalen is so skinny already, and she's running now, and I hugged her today, could feel her ribs. Somebody's got to feed that child. You got to eat some banana pudding. But anyway. Hey, nobody's ever said that about me, Jalen. Nobody's ever. Praise the Lord, Orlando. Great, good deal. I believe it, Orlando's very dramatic. He's actually the best part of some of those plays that they do. Or Oakland in the back. Yay. That's so exciting, for sure. Yeah, remember we prayed for her a few weeks ago. She had a stroke, and it was scary for a little bit there, so we're so thankful. She's too young for all that, but amen. Shiloh, praise the Lord. Yay! You can see Shiloh at Johnny's Barbecue down there. Right? She wants you a sweet tea. Or I don't know what you do over there, but at any rate, go ahead. Brantley. Yeah, Brantley. Bomber, I love it. Jamez. Okay, those are neat things we're thankful for that God has in our lives. Miss Hodges. How many of you guys remember a guy named Joseph Marshall? Do you remember him? What a sweet guy he was. He got saved because somebody left a track. He's the only person I've ever met that told me they got saved. Somebody left a track, and he read it and accepted Christ as Savior. So good job. That's somebody we know. Carter? I didn't hear you. Okay. He's learning to play the guitar. God help us, right? I love it. Brother Ceylon, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Better than we deserve, I think, for sure. It's good to turn your heart to the Lord and say, I'm thankful in front of your friends. Jalen? That's great. Thank the Lord for a friend. Yeah. Everybody loves a friend, don't we? We all want somebody with us. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Anybody else in the back? Miss Cassie? Deal. Well, I'll praise the Lord for something. It's been many years since I've been to the Smoky Mountain Jubilee, but I got to go with David and Glenda this year, and it was on a Thursday and Friday. And was it awesome or what? I mean, it was truly spectacular to see thousands of people. I want to say they had a 300-person choir, and you've never heard a song sung by a 300-person choir. But Randy watched it online somehow, if you want to see that, and some of the best preaching you'd ever hear on the planet, six different preachers. And anyway, just so refreshing and so good. But it's always, I don't know, it's always a great reminder to me when you get to go into a major city and you see people dressed up for church and walk into an event that they're choosing to go to, you know what I mean? And they're there. I get that feeling when I'm on Bible college campuses. I love to see the young people follow, you know, walk to chapel and whatnot. I feel like when I'm around 4,000 of the Christians, there's still hope for the earth. You know what I mean? I feel like there's just still some hope for the earth. And so I'm thankful for that. And I also want to tell you that next year, Miss Glenda, do you know the dates exactly? It's the first Friday, it's Thursday, Friday in February, the 4th and 5th of February. And I wish that our church could go. It's a Thursday, Friday, and could make it work out. It's a free event, you know, you just got to find a place to stay up there. And who doesn't like the Apple Barn? I mean, there's a restaurant up there that Miss Mary, they fry these apple fritters, and you don't have to pray for them. They are blessed of God before they get to your table, you know. It's like somebody has, you know, dipped them in love and happiness. I took a $10 Krispy Kreme gift card up there, and do you know that the whole time I was up there, the hot light never came on? It was a sign from the Lord. He did not want me to get, because I was ready to get them if they were there. But I praise the Lord for those guys who are still lifting the Lord that way. The great C.T. Townsend, he's 5 years younger than me, but he's a mighty man of God. And the others that are up there, I'm so grateful for them. Joe Arthur, Ralph Sexton is 80. He lost his wife this year, but he's still preaching, and just a blessing. So anyway, next year, join us up there. It'll be good. I'm going to sneak up there with David and Glenda again. They got a cool spot. Can I tell them where y'all stay? Yeah. I gotcha. I tell you how awesome they are. They're friend with all their exes. I mean, we stayed in their son's ex-wife's house. I was like, this is awesome. You know what I mean? How about that? You know, all my family hates their exes. You know what I mean? They don't even get along with their current spouse, let alone their ex, you know. But at any rate, what a precious family the Hendersons are. So that's that. I praise the Lord for that. And I'm sincere when I say that. Thank God. It was a balm for the souls, what it was. Anybody else got a praise today before we move forward? Well, Jeff? Is that right? How about that? How old are you, Jeff? 77. Finally got it going. I like it. That's awesome, though. How exciting. That's super cool. Uh-oh. We got to help him with that. I got you. Well, in the spirit of announcements, this Saturday I'm going to try to do one of the widows projects. And if anybody would like to go, we always say volunteers, young people, I need your help for sure on this. The first one I think that we can knock out easily is Dolores Palmer. Dolores Palmer just has a mountain of leaves that need to be picked up. She's already got them pushed into beds, but they need to be bagged up. And so I think if I could get 8 or 10 people over there, we could knock it out in an hour or two Saturday morning. And then we'll haul those leaves off for her. Down the road, I still got to go help Miss Elna. She's got some things that she needs moved. And then Miss Claudia needs a ramp built. And Brother David has already agreed to do that. We'll fund the youth group always funds the lumber on that. And we'll get a couple young people to help with that. And then, have you heard, is Christine having to move? Or?
Yeah, but we don't know when.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Make
yeah. Brandon's widow is having to move, and so I'd like for some young backs to go over there and help. So anyway, this Saturday, we'll say 8 a.m., those that want to go, and I'll buy you breakfast if you'll show up at the children's home 8 a.m. Let me know if you can go. We'll scoop leaves for a couple hours and be a blessing to Miss Dolores Palmer. That's the one announcement that I have. Do you have Ivan Parker, of course, here on the 15th? That's exciting. And then Brother Don Rich will be here next week on the 8th. So this Sunday, this coming Sunday. Got to get those dates right, you know. Me and Brother Celon got our wires crossed, but this Sunday, the 8th, Brother Don Rich will be here in the morning service, and so we're excited about that. The 15th, the great Ivan Parker, and the 22nd, we have a guest here, John Harris. So fantastic. All right. There are three people we haven't heard in a while, so that's exciting. Anyway, okay, who's got a prayer request today? Something you need some help from the King from, Miss Lee Ellen?
Our country.
Our country. Yeah. I did find it odd. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Young people, it's not supposed to be this way. I found it odd when I was up in Gatlinburg and, you know, people are going to the shows and riding the rides and all that stuff. In the meantime, on the other side of the world, we're blowing stuff up. I mean, and Iran certainly deserved what they got. But, you know, anytime you drop bombs, innocent people are hurt. And so we pray for them over there for the safety of that nation. Really, we for the safety of our nation, we need to pray that their next leader is approved by God, that God somehow rises to the top somebody from their population that will not chant death to America and death to Israel. And so, you know, you've heard God told Abraham, you remember, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. And for 47 years, the Ayatollah Khomeini cursed Israel. For 47 years, he cursed Israel, and he died along with a lot of his friends this week. And so we pray for safety. They say 6 American soldiers have lost their life already in all that's going on. 3 American planes have been shot down by friendly fire over there, some of the anti-aircraft things. Calvary Children's Home has a soldier. He's in Japan, but he's a Marine. He's a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he's a new dad, new husband, and, you know, we're just praying for the safety of all of those folks. He's precious beyond words to us. So, you know, when you hear just some soldier, it's somebody's precious person that died. So we do pray for our country. Can we do a, Brother Seelan, I'm going to get you to pray a special prayer for our country before we get done. Go ahead. Okay. For, I get it. That's a good idea to ask God's help. Melita? The other girl that we prayed for, Bowen, who Darlene saw, we're so excited about that. But Callie had a major surgery. She had 7 inches of her leg removed, her entire kneecap and knee was, all the bones were taken out and something else put in because it was full of cancer. And so just in that recovery time, it's a big deal. That's Scott Kramer's daughter, and that's the first church that ever supported Calvary Children's Home, Pleasant Grove in Lawrenceville. So Callie Kramer is her name. We're praying for a full recovery, and that cancer, when they start cutting out inches of your leg, they don't want that. They're scared of it. And they actually encouraged the family to amputate her leg, to be honest with you. But she was so young, they wanted to try that first. So let's pray that God will help that family. Okay? Jalen? Okay, we will pray for you, Jalen. Yeah. Yeah. Jalen, I promise you, you'll never meet a more transparent, beautiful soul than Jalen. She'll just tell whatever's on her mind, she's going to tell you. I got a track meet. Some people fell. I'm scared. Pray for me. You know? Oakland. Darlene, for sure, we'll pray for Elizabeth. Okay. Carter? Okay. Jamez? Okay. Brantley? Okay, we'll pray. Hey, anything God's involved in is better. You're not wrong. Yeah, why not? Go ahead. Okay, so let's do it this way. If you guys will bow your heads and your hearts, I'm going to pray for all the prayer requests that were mentioned, and Jalen wants to give one more. But then I'm going to ask Brother Seelan after I pray to pray specifically for our country and for the soldiers and what's going on around the world. Go ahead. Yeah, somebody said that. Thank you. Gotcha. No, you're good. Yeah. Miss.
Throw one in quick. My brother Candy's having knee replacement.
Okay. It's a big deal. Tandy's known and loved. Okay. All right. Let's sincerely ask the Lord for help. God, we love you today, and we bow our heads and our hearts before you because you said we could. You told us that we could cast all on you, for you care for us. So, God, we bring these cares. God, we love our brothers, and when our brothers have a knee replacement, it's such a big deal. We love our friends, and when our friends has bone cancer and mightily needs a touch from God, these are important things to us. And for all of the unspokens that were mentioned across the room and various different people in our circles, God, and even Oakland's girlfriend's aunt, God, and just the people that are important to the people that are important to us, God, we need your help and we need your involvement. And Lord, we come to you with simple childlike faith. God, look in our hearts and see if it's not so. With my very simple childlike faith, I come to the God of the whole universe, whose angels fly around and say, holy, holy, holy. And I say, help, 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 God. Look on our situations, God. We can't do these things without you. It's too big, God, even for just the help that we want on the test and the play and the game that we're going to play in. God, we know we're a people who have learned this lesson. Anything that you are involved in is so much better. And so, God, would you look at my childlike faith, God, and would you answer our prayer tonight? Would you do some really radically awesome things for Mr. Jennings, for Mr. Tandy, for the others that were mentioned earlier? God, would you breathe upon them? God, of course, we begged for Callie and for Bowen. Still, God, we have begged and begged and cried out and brought those things before you. I know that there is that day and night, night and day incense before you on their behalf. But God, I pray that you would show yourself strong, God. Let us see that you heard us and that you are involved. Would you do that? You know we're a weak people and we need it, God. And I pray that tonight would not be a wasted time, Lord. Father, sometimes you feel 10 million miles away, but God, we know that you are here. And we know that you feel us. And I pray that tonight, if somebody's feeling like God is somewhere else, God, I pray tonight that you would, in a tangible way, draw near to them, that they would say, I'm so glad I came to church. I learned something. I heard something that helped me. And Father, Lord, be involved in all that we do. Hear Brother Ceylon's prayer as he prays for our country. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
If you have your Bibles, will you open them to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 23. And I know it's a common psalm, but I would never have gone here if the Lord had not laid it on our heart tonight. And so I think the Lord would like to hear something. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who were around long before these young people who sung were born, do you remember hearing the testimony of older generations saying to you, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered? How many of you your whole life have heard? Miss Rich, how many people do you think you have heard say, the Lord heard my prayer? Have you heard that your whole life? Have you heard, have you seen that? The godliest people you know always have tremendous stories that they can tell about seeking the Lord and him answering. Sometimes he doesn't always give us the answer that we want. One time I was praying about somebody else, and the Lord told me, it's your fault. But I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. This wasn't what the answer that I thought, you know. But at any rate, God is a faithful God, and he does hear and he does answer. And I'm just so very grateful for that. And if you left tonight, you came to church on a Wednesday night, and you gave a few nights of your, a few moments of your life, but you left with that song in your heart, you spent good time here tonight. It was worth you coming here tonight. If you can just know the Lord, he will not fail you. He hears you. He cares for you. Well, I want to give you a quick update about some things. We went to the ski trip, and I got very sick afterwards, so I haven't been back since, but that's a ministry of the church, and so I want to tell you thank you so much for letting us go up there. Up there, we studied the story of Noah for 5 nights, literally took the story of Noah and broke it up into 5 parts. I lost my dignity in West Virginia. Is there anyone who's ever lost your dignity? I mean, I lost my self-esteem so bad, I told people, if you see it, will you pick it up for me somewhere? Because there's a mountain up there called the Sawmill, and I had never seen this mountain before, but I'm telling you, it is straight down, and it is steep as all get out. And I see, if you could see the back of the room, you see children that are shaking their head. And literally, I had a few kids on that thing. We got over there, and Miss Mary, everyone who went in front of me crashed horribly. And Brantley actually took his skis off to start with and literally just slid down on his backside. Like, can you imagine sliding down a sheer cliff? I mean, it was like, shoo. But within minutes, Carter was down. I think of some others that were down. And the whole mountain looked like a debris field. I mean, it looked terrible. Preston had made it down there so far, but the rest of them had wrecked horribly. And I thought to myself, there's no way, Miss Catherine, it's so steep, I'm not going to be able to stop and help pick up their stuff. I better take my skis off too and try to scooch down the mountain. Well, there's a lot of me, 240 pounds of me. And when I scooched off the edge to slide down to the first set of skis, I took off like a rocket. I'm talking about like Mach 4. I'm coming down this thing. Children are in danger. I'm moving so fast. And then I began that death spiral where you're just spinning like this. I lost my skis, my pole, my backpack came off, which means at some point I was like, whee, you know, coming down that thing. And then finally I ended up with my head going downhill. I'm on my backside, you know, going backwards a million miles an hour off a cliff. And I thought, I'm going to die on this mountain. And I didn't even try to ski it. When finally I, with all my strength, got myself righted. You're wearing these heavy boots, so I was able to flip my skis around. And I'm not kidding, Miss Sandevy, I was from me to you to Jamez. And I was screaming, move! And he did not move. And Jamez became a speed bump to me, you know what I mean? But, I my backpack came open. So my thermoses and everything were scattered across the mountain. And I had to wait for people. Anyway, I lost my dignity. But I do want to remind the young people, and I want to teach you guys a couple things first. The first thing that we taught the kids in the story of Noah was, if you do anything for God, it will have a heavy component that is actually for you. God told Noah, build thee an ark. He didn't say, build me an ark. He didn't say, build your family an ark. He didn't say, build humanity an ark. He said, build you an ark. Noah, you will benefit from doing what God told you to do. Can I ask anybody in the room today? Anybody, you learned that by teaching Sunday school, it really benefited you? Is there anybody in the room who would say, hey, by singing in the choir, those songs really benefited you? Hey, anybody in the room learned that when you trusted Christ as your Savior and you didn't pay for your sins, it benefited you? Everything that you do for the Lord will have a component that it will greatly help you. I'm so grateful that God put me at this specific church. I'm so grateful that God gave me into the lives of these kids. Don't you sometimes wish you could be me and be in these kids' lives? They're so zany and so awesome. It's so very cool. You know, I'm so there's the truth to that. The second thing that I would say to you before, as you get to the book of Psalms, is when you obey God, young people, remember this. When you obey God, you do something for God today, and He can take bits and pieces of it and hand it back to you decades from now. Literally, you will have times in your life where you'll obey God faithfully in your 20s, and maybe when you're 50, you'll get a piece of it handed back to you. And I could give you a couple of examples. Remember, Noah, he's gathering gopher wood, and he's building the first floor, and he won't need that building for decades. It'll be literally decades before anybody benefits from what he's doing. In the story of David and Goliath, David killed Goliath when he was a teenager, remember? But he was in his late 20s when he needed a sword. And the only sword available was the sword of Goliath. And God, excuse me, gave that sword back to him almost like a reminder. Hey, David, me and you did something awesome when you wholly walked with me. Do you remember what we were able to conquer when you wholly walked with me? And David in his 20s would have to wholly walk with God as he was running from King Saul. We see that in the story of Esther, where Mordecai did that good deed and stopped the plot against the king. And they wrote it down in the book of Chronicles, you remember? And then everybody forgot about it. You remember that? Everybody forgot about it until the Bible says that Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. And the night before he was going to hang Mordecai, the king couldn't sleep. And guess which book he opened to read? He opened the book and said, Mordecai saved your life. And he said, what's been done for this Mordecai, right? And when Haman was trying to kill him, the king wanted to honor him instead. And it's crazy. And God handed him back something. And I could give you 1,000 illustrations. You want to walk with God today if you're 80, because in eternity you're likely to get some things back for what you did. You want to walk with God today in your 60, because in your 80s, God might slide something back your direction. Literally, I find treasure from my 20s. I can honestly say I gave my whole 20s to the Lord. Do you think I regret that? Do you think I regret that, William? I gave all my 20s to King Jesus. I don't regret that. I love it. And now I get to experience some of that, right? Some of that's come back to me and is a blessing. And anyway, Psalms chapter number 23, we're going to jump in right there. And give me 24 minutes, that's what we got tonight. Have you guys ever heard a songwriter say, I sat down and the song wrote itself? Have you ever heard that? Darlene Check wrote the famous song, Shout to the Lord. Anybody ever heard that song? In the 90s, it was probably the anthem of the church, probably the most popular song in all of the 90s. And at any rate, She said she went through an experience where she had a miscarriage, right? And she lost a baby, and she got angry at God. And she said to God, God, I've served you, I've loved you, and here I am suffering in this way, and I lost this baby that I wanted so much, and so I am not going to sing anymore for you. I'm done singing for you. And she said, God said to her, pick up your pen. And she said, I'm done. I'm not singing for you. Pick up your pen. I'm done. I'm not singing for you. Pick up your pen. She picked up her pen and began to write those words that you guys know. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roll at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. She said in 3 minutes, that song wrote itself. God literally gave her the song that carried through. Think of how the scriptures must have been so very similar. These for sure were inspired by God. God looked down upon David. No doubt in Psalms 23, God for a long time had wanted for the world to hear these words, to get this visual of how God cares for us like a shepherd. But he had to wait until he had a man whose life lined up with him. And the Bible tells us that David was a shepherd. And so God took the ideas and the thoughts of God and found an instrument, a man who he could weave his melody through, and brought us the 23rd Psalm. And David had no idea when he wrote those words that they would circle the globe. He had no idea that probably a million dying soldiers, their last words were the 23rd Psalm. Probably he had no idea that in every hospital and in the suffering rooms of the world and in the hurting places of life, a million times a million, that psalm has been a comfort to people. He had no idea. I've heard snipers and warriors say when they went to battle, the thing they quoted was the 23rd Psalm. David just thought, I'm obeying God. I'm writing these words as he gives them to me, and here they are. But as David lined his life up with God, you're going to notice a couple things. In Psalms 23, David does nothing to exalt himself. There's nothing in all of Psalms 23 that says anything about who he is. William, astound these people with your knowledge. How old was David when he became king? Come on, William. The first king, king of the southern part. He was not 17. He was 17 likely, or that area when he killed Goliath. We don't know for sure. He was 30 years old. He was 30 years old when he became king. Listen, Presley, he was 37. This should astound you. He was 37. So sorry. Hairball. Anyway, when he became king of the entire nation. Now follow what I'm about to say to you. C.J. Martin is 39. He was 37 when he became king of the entire nation of Israel. God had elevated him, and God had certainly helped him. But he didn't say, hey, I am the king. I am the giant slayer. I am the lion killer. He didn't say, I was the teenager who became the commander of 1,000 men. I am the undefeated general of the armies of Israel. He's the only one that I know of that can say, I am the undefeated commander of the army of God. I'm undefeated. No army has ever stood before me. He didn't lift himself up at all because God was working in his life. But you know who he did lift up? He highly lifted up the Lord. It was like he was saying of the Lord, I did not get myself here. The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. I love this scene, and I've never fully done this for the adults, so catch what I'm about to say. When David killed Goliath, the Bible says they had an exchange of words. You can go back and look at it, 1 Samuel 17, and it's awesome. And the Bible says when David responded to Goliath and said, you come at me with a sword, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. This day, I'm going to take your head off, and I'm going to feed you and your friends to the animals. When David said that, the Bible says Goliath arose. Did you catch what I just said? They're having a conversation. Goliath says, am I a dog? You just sent me a child. He hasn't even stood up yet. The Bible says that he arose and hasted and went towards David. And the Bible says when he got near, catch what I'm about to say, when he got near, David tore off running towards him. Imagine that. For 40 days, everybody has run from him. David literally baited him and waited for him to get close. Why? Why? David's got a slingshot, right? David's got a slingshot, and he doesn't want that big boy to get that shield up. So he waits until he's close enough, and then David starts running at him so that when he unleashes that rock, it's going Mach 4, and it caught him in the forehead. And do you remember what happened? The Bible says it sunk into his forehead. Ooh, boom, shakalaka, right? Boom, sunk into his forehead, and Goliath fell face first. Imagine you got killed with a fatal blow to the face. Which way would you think you would fall? You would think you would fall backwards. The Bible says he fell face first. That tells you God came up and just swatted him right on the tater, right? Pop, and he went down. But that blow killed him. And the Bible says David hasted. Pay attention. David hasted and ran and grabbed Goliath's sword. Why did he hasten? Why was he running to get Goliath's sword? What do you think, Jalen? You're right. I don't want this big boy to get back up, right? He hasted and grabbed his sword, whacked off his head. I wouldn't tell this if it wasn't in the Bible. But the Bible says that David took two things from that battle. He took Goliath's head, picture that, grabbed his head, and he took his armor. He did not take that sword. You would think he would have grabbed the sword. I mean, what an awesome sword. Later in life, he said, there's no sword like it. But he left it there. God made sure he left it there. But he took the head so that the rest, listen to what I'm saying, young people. He took the head so that the rest of Israel would say, he could say, don't be afraid of these things. You ran from something, but we have the help of God. Young people who are growing up at Calvary, you desperately need to defeat some of your foes so that your kids can see. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't run. Don't run. Conquer these things. Conquer, 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 right? So that the generations after you, don't you love to see CJ's kids up there with none of the vices that tore apart his family? It's precious beyond words, right? You've got to conquer them. He literally carried that back to say, we don't have to run. We have the Lord. But he carried that armor to be a testimony to himself. He could never wear Goliath's armor. Goliath was 9 foot tall. He couldn't even fit in Saul's armor. He carried it as a reminder that when he walked with God, he and God did some pretty spectacular things. It reminds me of the story the Bible tells us when Joshua is told to carry rocks out of the Jordan and make an altar on the other side. We are never told why. We're never told why. But the Bible says that while that was going on, Joshua went into the Jordan River and of his own created an altar in the center of the river. Like, we're not told why. The Bible says they're carrying them on their shoulders, so these are big rocks. But Joshua is piling up rocks in the center of the river. This altar is about to be covered by the Jordan River, but at the end of the book of Joshua, the Bible tells us it was still standing there when it was. Why did Joshua do that? You know what I believe with all my heart? Just like so many other boys in Scripture who walked with God, he was building an altar saying, I didn't get here by myself. I know it was God who worked in my life. I know it was God who moved on my behalf. And I can put these altar as a tribute, build this altar as a tribute to a God who let me walk on dry ground and a God who let me bring Israel across into the promised land and a testimony. And I can just tell you honestly, and I told the kids up there, I got to hear me, I could build one of those altars in so many places. I could build one behind every pulpit that I've ever preached behind. I never deserved that. Are you kidding me? I could build one at the gate of the Calvary Children's Home. I never deserved that. I could build one at North Cobb Christian School to say Holy Eclipse. I could build one in the field at Calvary Children's Home where we did that Christmas tree sale. I never deserved that. I could build one on Melita's side of the bed. I didn't deserve that, girl. I promise you I didn't. I broke everything I touched. I lied. I cheated. I cursed. I stole. I lusted. Jesus came into my life. Jesus came into my life. And he has given me things that he could build. I could build an altar for. Let me ask you a question in the room. Is there a place you could erect an altar to say, I didn't get here by myself? And I thank you for my family. I thank you for my ministry. I thank you for the hope that you brought into my life. Boy, it's powerful and it's true. And David, as he's writing, he has that spirit. There's no self-exaltation whatsoever. He's just saying, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It's very important that you catch those words. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, a Lord. He didn't say lowercase Lord. He said capital L Lord. Young people, you live in a world that is trying to convince you there are many ways to get to heaven. You live in a world that will actually say to you, and you'll hear, as long as you follow a God, you're going to be okay. But according to the Bible, there is one Lord, sovereign God over all. His official name is Jehovah. His son is Jesus Christ, and he has the Holy Spirit, three Godhead in one. But at any rate, that is the true God of the universe. And if you follow any other God, it will lead to your peril. Did you catch that? It will lead to your peril. By the way, follow the other gods and look what happens. If you're a Muslim, if you want to follow Muhammad and be a Muslim to the fullest extent of the law, the Muslim decree is kill the infidel, kill the non-believer. What is Jesus' message? Love the unbeliever, reach the unbeliever, rescue the unbeliever. You want to be a Mormon? You can earn and try to have achievements and work up rewards and higher levels and whatnot. Did you know in the Mormon church there are four people who can't take off their underwear? You talk about backwards and weird. That's really, really creepy, right? But at any rate, in the Mormon church, you do that. You try to work, you try to work, you try to work. In Christianity with the real God, you're not good enough. Your works are as filthy rags. You need to throw yourself on Jesus, the Lord, who can save you and rescue you and move in your life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Can I tell you something crazy? Years ago, Nick Goodwin dated a lovely girl. I won't call her name. She was beautiful and she was sweet. She was Catholic. And so we began to talk to her and say, hey, friend, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. And she began to walk through her experience through the Catholic Church, praying through priests. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man. There's no man that you can pray through. You can't pray through Mary. By the way, she's not a virgin anymore. Right? Did you catch what I just said? They pray to the Virgin Mary. She's not a virgin anymore. She had other children. They pray to other saints that have gone on. That's not true. But this is what that sweet girl said to me. She never trusted Christ. She came so close. But she said to me, in the Catholic Church, you go through confirmation where you have to go and dedicate yourself to God. And I said, how does that work since God says you can only get to him through Jesus Christ? And this is what she said. She said, they put us in a dark room, all these girls, and they say, find God. And I said, sweetheart, how did you find God? And she said, some girls started screaming. Some girls started praying. Some girls just wallered. Some girls were scared to death of the whole thing. And I said, what was the end result? She said, nobody ever found God. Nobody ever found God. You can't find God without Jesus Christ. You can't find God without coming through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he died for your sins, and the Lord of all is the God that is described in the Bible. Last night, I got to hear Dabo Sweeney. I'm going to move this podium. This thing's gone wheels. That's pretty cool. And Dabo Sweeney is the current head coach of the Clemson Tigers football team. He was over at Burnt Hickory Baptist. He's a devout Christian man. And he said on day one, literally day one of camp, he takes this huge ball that's somewhat deflated, and he puts it in the center of the room. And he said, I always grab a freshman, and I try to grab the biggest, fattest one I can. He said, I look out there, and I say, hey, you, come up here. Stand on this ball. And he said, these are all D1 athletes. They're solid guys. But that big guy, he'll jump up on that ball. And how would you stand on a ball? He said, you're wobbling, you're shaking. You know you're wobbling and shaking. And then he said, I always say to them, if football is the foundation of your life, that's how you're going to live your entire life. If money is the foundation of your life, that's how you're going to live your entire life. If your wife, your girlfriend, your family is the foundation of your life, that's how you're going to live your entire life. The only way you can bring stability to your life is if Jesus Christ, the one true God, is the foundation of your life. Can I ask you a question today? Honest assessment. Honest. Nobody's listening. Nobody's looking. Nobody can see your heart. Who's number one in your life? And don't lie to yourself. Who's number one? Is it God? Is somebody else, right? And if it's not God, in your heart today, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, help me to put you first. Everything is going to be so unstable until you put God there. But if you put God there, when God is the Lord, is your shepherd, you shall not want. What you have will be, what you need will be taken care of, and it will bring stability to your life. Think about what he said. The Lord. Wasn't he fortunate? Not a Lord, not lowercase Lord. He had this. You know what that whole first phrase is, by the way? Catch this, Orlando. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what it means? The sovereign of the universe is watching over me, therefore I have what I need. If the sovereign of the universe is watching over you, doesn't it make sense that you're going to have what you need? But in this illustration, we're again stripped of all self-elevation, because in this illustration, he is the sovereign shepherd, and we are but a sheep. And sheep are very humble creatures, are they not? Let me ask you a question. I want young people's participation. You ready? Sheep are not fast. Did you know that? There's never been anybody who is like, my lamb chops can move, baby. You know what I mean? There's never been anybody who had like a boot scooting sheep, right? Sheep are slow. What are the fast animals? What's a fast animal? Just holler it out. She said a gazelle, a cheetah, right? That hawk, man, that Pyrene falcon, that thing comes in like 80 miles an hour. Unbelievable. God could have said, you are one of those hundreds of animals. He picked a sheep that's not fast. Jesus, by the way, absolutely confirmed his respect and appreciation for this because he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He was saying, same thing. The Lord is the shepherd. You are the sheep. Sheep are not fast. Sheep are also not strong. Have you ever seen a sheep pull a cart? You ever seen a sheep that was able to move something? What are the strong animals? An ox. What'd you say, Jalen? An ox. Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you heard the word ox? That's just a good, you know. An elephant, a rhino, something. Hundreds of animals God could have chosen. He did not choose a strong one. He chose a sheep. Think about this. Sheep don't have any great defenses. There are some animals that have killer defenses. The porcupine. Come on now. You ever seen somebody mess with a porcupine? Those poor animals that get shot with that thing, they're like hurting. You know, the skunk. Oh my goodness, nothing eats skunk. Do you know why? You don't want to get sprayed. Let me ask you a question. Just be fair to me. Know that I never did drugs, never. And one time we went to this hotel in Virginia. It was the Marlington Motor Inn, and it had this smell of what I now know is marijuana, but I did not at the time. And I went to the desk, and I was like, dude, y'all got a skunk problem. You know, does anybody else think that stuff smells like skunk? It's horrific. You're driving down the road, and suddenly you're like, oh, somebody. And anyway, when the guy told me, no, dude, that ain't marijuana. That's not skunk. It's marijuana. I literally said, you smoke that? Are you crazy? Why would you put that on you? But a skunk has great defense. It really does. What's another animal that has a great defense? Ask Miss Henderson about walking up on a bear with cubs. What did it do? Come on, act it out.
Stand up.
Rah! Did you see it right? They have great defenses. Mr. Hodges, would you proceed if a bear went rah to you? No, you're good. My bad. You keep what you want to keep. Sheep don't have that kind of defense. Miss Tammy, you know what sheep do? When they're attacked, they gather into a herd and make like a big cohesive target, right? Like a buffet is what they form right there in the middle. Beyond that, you got to hear what I'm saying. Sheep are not smart. They just are not smart. Do you know that sheep have often been killed by hay bales? Do you hear what I just said? I'm not talking about the little ones like you decorate with at in the fall time, but those big round hay bales, because they'll eat the bottom corner of it and then it topples over on top of them and they die underneath that. Sheep often will fall into rivers and drown because their wool is so very heavy. There's a story, I literally brought it, if you want to, I literally Googled it and brought the story from Fox News. In 2005, 1,500 sheep jumped off a cliff. Do you know why? Because they saw what the first one did. The first one got confused and jumped off the cliff, and they were like, oh, I guess it's time we go off the cliff. And 1,500 sheep went off a cliff. Only 450 of them died. Do you know why? Because the back 900 bounced off the first 450. I mean, this big, huge pile. It is an actual true story. They are not smart, but you know what they have? They have one factor that is so very true and is so very important for them. They desperately need a shepherd. They desperately need a shepherd. They desperately need somebody to watch over them. Was it Frank Sinatra's song? Wasn't it? Put on some speed, follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me. We do. We want somebody to watch over us. I like to listen to the stories of soldiers who've been in those death-defying situations. And I remember the other day I was listening to a soldier and he started crying as he told the story. Big, strong black guy with dreadlocks. And he said, I'm sorry, I just haven't told this story in years and years and years. And I just remember it so vividly. And he said, when he was outgunned and they were outmanned and there was literally the enemy was caving in on him, he said, I looked at my wife and said, my buddy, and said, if you make it and I don't, you tell my wife I had courage. You tell my wife I love her. And the guy looked back and said, if you make it and I don't, you tell my wife. And they shook, and he said, you'll never believe what a bond you make when you're there together, somebody with you to fight that kind of thing. Fortunately, a helicopter landed. He said, you've never heard a more beautiful sound in your life. I remember one day I woke up the kids from after a stormy night. I'll never forget it. It was one of those nights at the children's home where it was a crazy storm outside, and we had two little boys at the children's home, Brandon and Kyle. Brandon is CJ's younger brother, and Brandon was a little squeamish, I guess would be the right word. And when I woke him up, he was sleeping right beside Kyle's bed. Now, remember, these are 2 7-year-old boys. And I said, Brandon, what are you doing over here by Kyle's bed? And he said, well, it was the storm, and I got scared. And I said, so why didn't you come get me? I would protect you. And he looked up at me. He goes, have you seen his teeth? Kyle had these mangled teeth, you know what I mean? And he was just looking for somebody. We want somebody. But if we are, listen, you know it's true. You know it's true. Humble yourself. You need somebody to watch over you. You need somebody to protect you from what you can't see. You need somebody to guide you to what is true and good. And David, when he wrote this, said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have what I need. Think back with me. We got 2 minutes, so I'll just say this. We didn't even get to verse number 2. Think of what I'm about to say. When this church was being founded and when it was being built, do you know who the first person that was ever saved as a ministry of this church? Not so significant to you. A guy named Elvin Swan. The church was not yet built, but a guy named Elvin Swan, they were knocking doors, Ben Turner's crew, and trying to, you know, build the church, whatnot, and they came across a house on Forest Hill Road, and they won Elvin Swan to the Lord. And Elvin Swan gave his life to Christ and began to raise his family in a Christian way. That's not so significant to you, but do you know who that is to me? That's my precious grandfather. If you've ever heard me tell the stories of how he thought Ben was done preaching and he stood up because he couldn't hear, or all the different things, and I got to speak in his funeral not that long ago, that's an important thing. But Dwayne Swan has told me several stories, but one sticks out the most. When they were getting ready to build these pews that are in here, they ran short on funds. They just didn't have all the funds to get it. But Ben Turner was one of those guys, if they ran short on funds, he took on a missionary, didn't he? Right? Just crazy great faith. But he said that on the day that the lumber for these pews came, they did not have the money to pay for it. And as Brother Ben passed Dwayne, I guess somewhere in the hallway or whatever, he said, there's a truck coming. They're going to have a COD. I don't even know what that means, but they're going to need a, you got to pay for it when it's here. And Brother Ben said to him, we don't have it, and I need to go pray. And he said he went down, and that office wasn't there, he said, but there was an office over there somewhere. And he began to pray, and the truck pulled in, and Dwayne ran and got him and said, hey, what do we do? And he said, give me the bill. And he gave him the bill, and he said, tell him we're going to pay him. And he said, well, how are we going to pay him? He said, I'm telling you that while I was in there praying, somebody started beating on the door. And he said, I didn't know who it was, so I went over to the door, and it was a man that I hadn't seen in years and years. And he said, Brother Ben, you might not remember me, but at a church called Austin Avenue, you led me to the Lord, and it's been a couple years, and I haven't tithed, and I need to catch up on my tithes. And the Lord really convicted me today to come down here and tithe. And with that money, the pew you are sitting on today was paid for. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have what I need. Miss Darlene, tell you the truth, if a guy had not dropped off a sign in the first year that we did the tree lot, we may not have a tree lot today. I don't know. Do you know we don't even know who that was? And he never came back to get it? We hadn't sold nothing. Hadn't sold nothing. Guy stopped by with a flashing sign. You need this. Over here, over here, over here. I mean, that one thing. I mean, I don't even know if he'd ever done it again. I really don't. I have what I need. I think of the responsibilities that I've had this year. This year I did Brandon Henderson's funeral. My precious, precious friend, Glenda and David. Do you think I have anything that I can give them? I have nothing. I did my grandma's funeral. I did Lucille's funeral this year. I did one more. Who else? Dion's funeral. What am I going to give? The great Dion Lauder died. And I'm going to say something like that. You know, in each of those instances, got a little something from heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Amen. Sometimes when I tell those stories and I tell you about the suit that I got on the first revival I prayed, or the bed and breakfast when I was so poor, I couldn't afford it, or how God helped us at Miss Barber's tree. If the sovereign of the universe is your God, your world's going to be a lot more stable. And you're going to have what you need. You may not have everything you want, but you're going to be okay. You're going to have what you need. The last verse says that the goodness of God is chasing after you. The Bible literally says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's the word radof, which means vehemently pursue. The goodness of God follows hard after the follower of Christ. But William, it's your job to step into a spot where you can get it. Did you catch what I just said? If I'd never obeyed God and gone to Calvary Children's Home, look what I would have missed. If I never obeyed God and didn't start preaching, look what I would have missed. If David had not walked with God and served God in the army and for the cause and the purpose of God, look what he would have missed. You got to step in the spot to get the goodness that's chasing after you. Jesus said it this way, abide in my love. Now, wait a second. Abide in my love? I thought you couldn't separate me from the love of God. You know what the reality is? I got two kids, right? I love them both equally, but if one is defiant and rebellious, they get to experience a lot less of the love I want to give them than the one that is obedient and submissive. That's just a fact, right? Get in the spot. Get in the spot. Young people, maybe one of you guys has elevated something above God. Repent tonight. Repent tonight. Lord, you're going to be my shepherd. You're going to be one calling the shots. I'm going to follow you. God, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for these truths. And I pray in Jesus' name that some of them would stick today. I'm so grateful you are my shepherd. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. I'm so grateful for these precious people. What a treasure they are. And I pray that they would be helped tonight. And we would feel your love as we leave this place. Bless this group of awesome people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.